Hello and welcome along to Northumberland FA's podcast series from the sidelines. A special guest today, who we've had on before, Joe Dankwa. Joe's now currently coaching at Newcastle United Pre-Academy. And we're going to look at and chat around celebrating Black history. So Joe, many thanks for coming on to Coach the Coach today to discuss around your coaching journey and being a role model, especially for coaches from that diverse community.
First of all, thanks for having me on, Gary. Always good to catch up and I guess talk what we love about, which is coaching and in general. In terms of my coaching journey itself, I've always been involved in football, so I grew up in Amsterdam, Holland, and from a young age, my uncles were quite important in our lives. They both played football. One played at a high level-ish, so we would always play football. And I guess in my community, that was the only thing we could do because we had those concrete pitches. So it was pretty much a case of school, football. And I came from a deprived area, so I guess we soon realized that I think nicely possible that was the only way out, because a lot of the players then in our area end up playing for Ajax Academy, PSV, and they end up, some of them end up making really big careers.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, you're currently doing a great job supporting and coaching players at Newcastle United's pre-academy space from 6 to 11. But you just touched on, a bit around where you started. I suppose my first question to you today is, why did you want to get involved with coaching?
I think my one was, first of all, my brother obviously playing for Newcastle. I witnessed his career and then it didn't go to where he maybe could have gone to. And I think I soon realised that I couldn't really get to a higher level that I wanted to. So I was like, right, okay, if I can't play the game, then I want to be the best at coaching. And I think that's where really it started from. And I guess it goes to helping. I've always enjoyed helping. I've got younger siblings and I always look after them when mum was away, or I grew up in church. So I used to look after a young church group and whatnot. So I've always embraced like helping and supporting. And that's what I'm doing now, luckily, at Newcastle.
So we spoke about the why, Joe. How did you get involved? For people out there that are maybe really keen and passionate about football, and maybe it's from a dive and just want to get involved.
Yeah, to be fair, I remember I was at Walker Tech, that's called Walker Riverside High School now, and I think it was GCSE year. And Ian Bogey came in from Tynemouth College at the time. He was the head of football. And that, I think, that they had a football program and I joined the football academy in Nice, I remember it. And it was just because I liked playing football. And my mindset was like, I want to do the B-Tech, play football, then go America scholarship. That's what I thought at the time. And it's funny how things happen, but I remember just on my B-Tech course, we used to have a sports coaching unit. And Mark Steele was one of my coaches, like lecturers, who's now the Eagles. And if you know Mark, he's very passionate, enthusiastic. And I think just seeing him, I was like, wow, like, I want to be like him. And I was like, yeah, man, that's the one I want to be like. Because I'm a bit similar, a bit crazy. But I was like, wow, he's my guy. And then from then, when I was on my course, like in my part of my course, we used to have kids from Beacon Hill Primary School coming in, or like different primary schools. And we would have to like deliver like sessions or like festivals in the gym. The kids of all sorts, SEN needs, disabilities, like whatever maybe. And I remember we do try golf, we do football, hockey, and I loved it. Just the fact of bonding, and then they were smiling, and then that then quickly progressed to, I managed to get a part-time job through the college at Colour Coach Primary School at lunchtime. Supervisor, so I'd go in at lunchtime and coach a bit of futsal, which was great, with Kev Yeldon. He was amazing. So I did that. And I was like, ooh, I really love what I do now. I want to do more. And then the way I got into football coaching, funny enough, I was walking the corridor one, and then Warwick Stevenson, who was the head of sports at the time, just tapped me on the shoulder and said, what are you doing this Saturday? And I was like, I'm not sure. He's like, you fancy coming coaching? Why are you open? I was like, I'll think about it. And then I did it on a Saturday morning. It's going back nearly 15 years ago. Did it one Saturday morning, and I'm still there, and I'm still loving it. So we're loving it, man. So yeah, that's how life works. But I wouldn't change for anything, Gary.
Yeah, fantastic, Joe. Joe, and you spoke about getting involved in grassroots with Warwick. The hours that you had to do voluntary, the additional hours on the grass to support your knowledge, because I think qualifications and gaining that certificate, they're great. But we as coaches, we need to do the hard yards on the grass to develop that craft. You know, what did you have to go through to do all them hours to I suppose, get you to where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, I thought a bit about this the other day. You know, if you ask me how many hours have I put in voluntary, it'd be crazy. But I don't look at it as an issue. I look at it as a celebration, because at the end of the day, for me personally, I learn by seeing. I'm a kinesthetic learner, so I need to get out in grass, see someone do a liver session, ask questions, how it works, the whys, the how progression, and then it sinks in. If you give me a session plan, it takes a long time for me to digest it. So
yeah,
I've always enjoyed learning anyways, in terms of when it's a more practical context. So from a young age, I would go to, look, I remember the new academy used to do a fair bit where you could go in and watch a few, and I would go in and watch some sessions, network, meet some other coaches, and then, to be fair, barriers that I face, guys, are more financial, because I don't come from like family of wealth, really. So I remember I was working part time to make sure that I could afford bus pass, like to get to these events. I'll be out the door sometimes 8 in the morning, go to work, do what I need to do, go to the coach on an item, and then get home till 10, 11. So, but I look at it now, and actually, it's for me, it's a core in terms of, especially if you want to get into coaching, it's not easy, it's hard work. Like, it's hard work, it's hours, and it's not given. You have to earn it. And you have to earn it in the right way, in a sense of go out there and actually get the experience. And it started for me voluntary, and I did it for, I did teams are wide open for 4, 5, 6 years. Didn't expect a penny.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't about that. Yes, I'm in a position now where I work in Newcastle, but actually, had I not done it, then I wouldn't understand the value in just getting out there, learning and volunteering. And even at Newcastle now, when I've got time, like the coach you run, I'll come down, or Academy or whatever. It's not about finances or making money. It's more about, actually, I just want to get out and learn more.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
It's developing my skill set, Joe, isn't it? You know, we're always learning. And the more we can go in and, I suppose, steal from others and observe others and learn from their knowledge and experiences, that the better skill set we're going to have and wherever we're coaching. I think, Joe, was all them voluntary hours, do you think it was so people look at you and take you seriously as in what you want to do and where you want to get by putting them hours in on the grass?
Yeah, do you know what? I was fortunate enough that I was in and around good people, like, obviously away from, I had met, like, Warwick was my mentor pretty much, in a sense of, you know, where do you want to get to? Okay, which coach are you going to, have you booked on the level one? Have you booked on the level two? Are you booked on to futsal? Have you been to coach clinics? Go network. So I was lucky I had someone, like, in a sense, like, probe me and direct me and help me and support me. Didn't have to, but we'll just have conversations, like, even we have conversations now about, like, coach or whatever, come on. Just I was lucky that I was in a network that supported me, Gary, and that's the bit. And I think the biggest advice I got given was always be like a sponge, learn as much and be open-minded. And I think nowadays, in terms of coaching and football, because it's slightly changed, you can easily, you know, think you know it all and be very, like, narrow-minded, in the sense of my way type thing, and do, but actually, sometimes the better coaches are the ones that keep developing. And even like yourself, you will still learn and develop. Like, there's people who've coached for 20, 30 years. They still develop. Managers get sacked in the Premier League. What do they do the first thing? They fly out to go another coach and spend 6 months at a club under the radar just to learn from someone else. Like, and I think that's the key thing. As long as you're open-minded in terms of coaching itself in football, then you'll always learn more and the enjoyment will maintain.
Yeah, and that's true. You talk well about the support that Warwick Stevenson give you, and at the start of your journey and throughout. How impactful is it, and was it for you to have allies on your supporting you on your journey? And I go back to the chats that we've had with Parv Singh, obviously you mentioned Warwick, and having people around you that you trust and support and give you the right guidance, and I suppose the conversations that we've had as well.
You know what, guys? It's important because I think you're able to relate to people that understand where you're coming from. And I guess, nice if possible, both my parents didn't go to school. They grew up in Africa and they haven't got the knowledge and understanding about what I do. In a sense, the only value they always gave me that is no matter what you do, be the best and work hard. So that's what I've got from them, and I understand that. But actually, when you talk more about career setting itself, I'm lucky to have yourself, Warwick. I've got Jamie, Bertie at Newcastle, Pav. I can speak to Hara when I who's now Borough, Steve Harrison. When he was at Newcastle, he would allow me to come on the night time, just sit outside and watch some of the sessions, and then he would give me feedback and say, "Joe, if you need anything, let me know," or whatnot. I remember Rob Atkin years ago would help me. So I think having those people that you can, pick up the phone, just ask for advice, whether that's a career advice, whether that's session planning, whether that's development, or even I remember I would go to the coach, and then afterwards, when everyone leaves, I would be the one that go up to new windskill and ask questions, or the other lads ask questions about the sessions or about opportunities that might come across in the Newcastle Foundation or an academy. And I think it's those bits really, and I think it comes down to how you are as a person. I've always learned to treat people with respect, leave a positive, I guess, impression wherever you go, and then the door's always open, and that's what I try and do now.
Yeah, good. Joe, what's your thoughts on Black History Month?
I'll be honest with you, Gary. I think it's a good thing. However, at part of me does think is it a thing that's just celebrated for a month and that's it? And without getting too political, is it just nice if possible a ticky box? Because actually, not just me, I'm not saying me, but there's other people out there that are doing a great job in the community or in different sporting organizations, grassroots level, right up to the elite. But actually, is it celebrated enough? Probably not. Even in school, how much is taught around those slavery or all sorts of things, the dynamics of the culture? Is it taught? I mean, I work in a very diverse school, and did I learn much about the background? Probably not. So is it something that can be better? 100%. Is it something that maybe can be celebrated in different ways? Yes. Whether that's a showcase, whether that's webinars or whatever it might be. But I do think there's a lot of great people out there. Like obviously I'm at Newcastle, I work at Yannick, I work at Moyo, two great people that, do incredible job in and around the academy, in their community. And it's funny, guys, because I was talking to someone not so long ago and they got into coaching because they've seen me coach and I didn't know this.
Brilliant,
And there's another lad who, two of them actually, one of them has gone on and set my own coaching one-to-one business. But just the fact of that I'd coached him when he was playing non-league level, just as a mate. And then he's like, "Oh, I want to be like you." And we joke about it now, but actually he's seen someone that he can relate to doing it. So he now wants to do it. I don't take it personal. I don't think it's me who's done it, but I didn't really understand the power of having representation.
Yeah, Joe, I think you've answered my next question in that conversation there. And I was going to ask, do you see yourself as a role model around, this diverse community? But I think, knowing you from what you do at like a primary, you're a role model around them kids in a really diverse school. But yeah, obviously from the people that you meet in your friendship groups, you must feel like you absolutely are true, are you?
Do you know the thing, guys? I'm not one that, I don't know, look at it in that way. I just look at it as if I continue to do what I do, then hopefully I can inspire others, but without put myself on a pedestal saying, oh, I'm a role model, I'm this, I'm that. I just try and do the best that I can, and hopefully if I can reach my full potential, then others can actually look at it and say that it is possible. And that's the conversation that I'm having now with others that I've gone into coaching, and actually I've seen you doing it, so how did you get to where you are? And then I'm just giving it the advice on, right, I did this, and it's hard work, and it's this, and then hopefully you can do it. Funny enough, I was talking to my older brother about a month ago about his time at Newcastle, and he actually said to me, he said, "Nice, if possible, Joe, when I was in the system," he said, "as much as I love all my coaches, I didn't really have any coach to relate to in that environment." And that's not anyone's fault. And I've spoken to mates who played a high level, and I've just asked some curiosity, like, how many coaches of diverse background have you come across? Some have, in their 15, 16 years of playing football, not come across one. And it's funny because, with all respect, there's certain things that, because I understand culturally, let's say African players or Caribbean players, you might be able to relate to just because you understand it more. And with players within, let's say, elite systems, sometimes they won't talk to other coaches from different cultures because they perceive that they might not get it. Let's say home issues or parental pressures or whatnot. I would understand because I've been through it, my brother's been through it, I get a culture, whereas another coach that might not understand and might perceive that player to be, I don't know, annoying, moany, very short-term. And in reality, there's a lot going on that they wouldn't speak about, but they would speak about with someone else.
Yeah, Joe, let we hope, you know, sharing this podcast, webinar, that this inspirational chat, you know, helps coaches out there from diverse communities to say that, yeah, if Joe can do it, I want to aspire to get to where I want to get to within sport, football. Joe, have you faced many challenges on your journey?
Yeah, I have, you know. I remember, and I can talk about it now, but I remember when I was first applying for jobs, when I come out of uni, I was lucky enough to work with Fast Feet Football Academy, which Margaret runs, and he was great. Like, he gave me an opportunity. And I remember I was at a point between, where do I go? Do I go into school or do I go into coaching? And I think the two options were Bica and Newcastle Foundation. And there were elements, and maybe not a barrier where, like, I guess I applied. I did get rejected, but for me, in myself, I looked at a coaching group because I remember there was a photo of all the staff, and I subconsciously looked at it, and I couldn't see anyone I could relate to at a time. And I was like, okay, how am I going to fit in? Even though I'm quite confident now, I don't know what it was, but at the time I was quite young, and I was like, well, who am I going to relate to? How am I going to fit? Obviously now I don't think like that, but back then I was like, where can I really go to, one, meet people from my background, and two, like, love what I do, which is coaching. And that kind of shaped why I went into Bica primary school, because there's a lot of diverse kids, parents, there's teachers diverse. So at a time when I was like 21, and I guess I needed a bit more support, I felt I could get it there. But it's just like, nothing against the foundation or anything. It's just at that present time, I couldn't really see others I could rate. Whereas now, I know of coaches of diverse backgrounds that are working, and there's a lot of them. And some of them, Ismail Bamba, he's done really well. The foundation has gone on to do amazing things and whatnot. And someone who I've known since he was very small, close family, a friend of mine. So, just that's the barrier I face. And I think other barriers for me, like I spoke about before, was the lack of parental support, because I didn't have the understanding of what I wanted to do. And I guess the finances to pay for courses and whatnot. And had I not been at wide open at a time, and them helping with my level one and level two and whatnot, then I don't really know how I would have done it, if I'm honest with you.
Joe, what advice would you give to anyone that's wanting to start a career in coaching?
For me, I would say seek advice and volunteer as much as you can. And I think modern day, everyone wants to get paid for every single minute they do. But I think the reality is, in terms of coaching, you need to get out there and understand the art of coaching, what it is, why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that you understand that you're there for the players, the kids, not for yourself, but you're there purely for them, and you're purely there to facilitate their learning and enjoyment for whatever sport or game it is. And if you can have that mindset, then flip it as well, in terms of you want to learn as much as possible and get out there and speak to people that can help you, then I think you'll be able to go far.
Yeah, Joe. Once again, you know, many thanks for sharing your experiences and your knowledge on this discussion around celebrating Black History today. And I'm sure there'll be lots of volunteers, coaches, parents wanting to get involved with football and coaching from a diverse background like yourself.
Yeah.
See you as a real true role model, and someone, you know, that can, yeah, if Joe Dankwa can do it, I want to follow in his footsteps. So thanks so much, Joe.
Anytime, guys, and if anyone wants anything from me, they can contact you, and if they need any support or whatever I can do to help, then yeah, just drop me an email.
Brilliant. Thanks, Joe.
Take care, pal. Thanks, Gary.